Technorama episode 531, Sherlock Ohms.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Speaking of things in the attic, I found this overdue rental VHS of Highlander in my entertainment center.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Hey, Chuck, I think Michael must have left that.
Yeah, that came with the house.
Yeah.
Highlander, Highlander 2, Highlander 3, Highlander 4. You get the idea. You know, if I had the original source material, I would make that guy sound more bored now. Over there in the media corner. Right. He's been doing this for like 13 years.
Over there in the media corner.
Hey, welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If you're joining us for the first time, thank you very much. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. Whether you are listening or viewing this on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you get your content, we really, really appreciate it. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am well, sir.
I think you need to have your camera down just a little bit. The lower third's like cutting you off of the nose.
Is that better? I can't see my own camera. Let's see.
Okay, there you go. What, Skype doesn't give you any kind of feedback?
There we go. I had it minimized. Okay, There you go.
I minimize Skype.
Yeah. Well, when I do, actually on Windows, when I do, it gives me like a mini window of just you. So
yeah,
that's why I was like, I don't need to see myself.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
In the bathroom and look at the mirror.
Careful.
It's a mirror.
I know. I'm not going there. We have some feedback.
Yeah, we did.
We got some mail.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Mailman.
Oh, boy.
Reach right in and pull one out.
Oh boy!
Wait a minute. The mailman actually opened our mail.
Yes, that's the mailman opening our letters. Oh boy!
He reached in, pulled one out, and then opened it.
Is that a federal crime? Last I checked, it was.
Hey, look.
Maybe they got something to do with Facebook's privacy. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Right. We got one from Charles Stell. It says, "Hi, Chuck. Hey, my suggestion for your domicile is the Faraday cage." All right. We must have asked what we should name our house once upon a time, because some people name their homes, some people name their cars. I do recall having a discussion similar to that at least once in the last 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And, oh, yeah. No, remember we were talking about, I mentioned beach houses, and you mentioned naming.
Yes. My parents' houses. Casa del Lago and Harbor Ridge. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was thinking something about like the Cactus Sunset or something. I don't know. Donna and I haven't figured that out. We've been here 3.5 years and still haven't named the thing.
That's too poetic, man.
Binary Studio is the studio within the Faraday cage. I'm kind of liking that one for some reason.
Solar says the Faraday cage.
Not sure if that's going to hang out on the mailbox or not.
You're right.
He also concludes, still listening out in the piney woods. Thank you, Charles. Always good to hear from you. It has been a long time. Charles is one of our long, long time listeners.
Yes, he is.
And we appreciate it.
It has been a long time. I'm sorry, Charles, but you're stuck with us.
It's an addiction, I'll tell you. Once you're hooked on Technorama. All right, you want the next one?
Sure. My good old buddy, John Miller Jr., he says, I wanted to get an original story on the letters, we get letters, song that you guys use. Hopefully, you'll get this letter, play the jingle, read this letter, and accept all of this was done for the sake of getting you to play the jingle. Hashtag, I like that jingle. Your loyal fan, John Miller Jr. P.S. Notice me!
That is true Technorama thought pattern right there. I got nothing else. You are just messing with us. The story, the origin story, I'm pretty certain that's like a Digital Juice thing.
Yeah, it came in the Digital Juice. I think, Michael. I think it came from Michael or somebody like that.
Well, he did give me his Digital Juice collection.
Yeah. So that's it. So I think that's where it came from. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, didn't they play that on David Letterman too?
I don't think it was that one specifically. I think it was something else, something similar.
Oh, okay.
And I know there was one on, I think Ken Rakowski used to play one that's similar on, what was his podcast? I can't think. He does a couple of them. He's got one now on cryptocurrency called CoinDMZ. And I'm not sure what his... it's been a long time since I listened to the other one.
Okay.
All I remember is the way he starts out his show. It's a world technology roundup for Tuesday. Anyway. shall we go into the history?
Yes.
And I will apologize now. There are some names that we are going to have issue with, both of us.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
Right.
Here we go. On this day in history for April 25th, 2018, this is the 115th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 250 days remaining in 2018. It was on this date in 1792 that highwayman Nicholas J. Pelletier becomes the first person executed by guillotine.
On April 25th, 17... Not, I didn't find the guillotine part very funny. I don't know why I laughed. On April 25th, 1792, La Marseillaise, the French national anthem, is composed by Claude Joseph Roguet de Lis.
And that was not French at all.
No. Not at all.
We apologize at the top of the show to take care of all that. It was also today in 1859, British and French engineers break ground for the Suez Canal.
And on April 25th, 1901, New York becomes the first U.S. state to require automobile license plates.
Can you imagine the story behind that? Officer, it was a black something that went
Model
that
T.
way.
Yeah.
It's
a black Ford.
I don't even think the black Ford was out yet, but it must have been terrible confusion with more and more of them coming on the scene.
I have a feeling this has to do with taxes more than anything.
I think it was a way to identify.
Follow the money.
Also today in 1944, the United Negro College Fund is incorporated because a mind is a terrible thing to waste.
In April 25th, 1945, founding negotiations for the United Nations begin in San Francisco as part of the United Nations Conference on International Organization.
Also today in, I know I copy and pasted something a little off there. Also today in 1953, Francis Crick and James Watson publish Molecular Structure of Nucleic Acid, a Structure of Deoxyribose Nucleic Acid, describing the double helix structure of DNA.
Also on April 25th, 1954, the first practical solar cell is publicly demonstrated by Bell Telephone Laboratory.
1954. You get that, kids? That's a long time ago for solar cells.
Yes.
And I saw a Tesla wall in Home Depot. Now I want one.
I'm sure you do. It'll go with your...
It would go with the solar cells. And it would help us to stop drawing from the grid at night. Wouldn't that be nice?
That's right.
April 25th, 1959, the St. Lawrence Seaway... 1959! You know, you think the St. Lawrence Seaway is a lot longer than that, but it must have had to do with the locks around Niagara Falls or something. Linking the North American Great Lakes and Atlantic Ocean officially opens to shipping.
And also on this day in 1960, the United States Navy submarine USS Triton completes the first submerged circumnavigation of the globe.
Nicely done. It went around the globe underwater all at once. Cool. Also today, April 25th, 1983, Pioneer 10 travels beyond Pluto's orbit.
Oh, look!
Pluto wasn't there at the time. They missed.
I'm wearing my Pluto shirt.
All right, here we go. Let's have some fun with the birthdays. Happy birthday goes out on this date to Scottish astronomer and author James Fergusson, born on this date in 1710.
And Felix Klein, the German mathematician and academic, was born 169 years ago. I'm sure he's celebrating right now.
We're just warming up. American engineer and inventor Charles Sumner Tainter was born 164 years ago today.
And John Moisant, the American pilot and engineer, was born on that same date in 1868.
Italian businessman and inventor who developed Marconi's law. Bet you can't guess what his name is.
I don't know.
Guglielmo Marconi, yeah. Born on this date in 1874. I want to invent Tomasi's law. Something that will live on past me. Like, all the light bulbs in your house cannot be live at the same time. One will always be burned out, and when you replace that burned out, another one will burn out. Because you can't have all the light bulbs on it at the same time.
It's more like any name that can be mispronounced. It will be.
And here we go. Let's try this next one. That'll be Stepp's Law.
Yeah. Born on April 25th, 1903, Russian mathematician and academic Audrey Kolmogorov.
Mouth of marbles. William Pereira, the American architect designed the Transamerica Pyramid, was born 109 years ago today.
An American singer, Ella Fitzgerald, was born on this date in 1917.
Ella Fitzgerald! I can't do an Ella Fitzgerald. Was the wreck of the Ella Fitzgerald.
No.
Born April 25th, 1918, French-American astronomer and academic, Gerard de Vaucouleurs. Vacuum
also,
cleaner.
Yeah, also turning 95 today is English astronomer and academic, Francis Graham Smith.
Oh, you are lucking out today. I get the Russian mathematician and physicist, Felix Berezin, was born 87 years ago today.
And also born on the same date in 1932, Russian astrophysicist Nikolai Kardashev.
Oh, yeah, he's related to the Kardashians.
I was just going to say the same thing.
He was also on DS9. He was one of the Kardashians.
Right.
Roger Boisjoli, the American aerodynamicist and engineer, was born 80 years ago today.
And also turning 78 is American actor, director Al Pacino.
Say hello to my little friend, American actor, voice artist, comedian, and producer Hank Azaria, was born in the state in 1964. Take us home, Craig.
And American puppeteer and voice actor John Henson was born 53 years ago today.
Woohoo! That's the way it was on this day in history for April 25th, 2018. But wait, there's listener birthdays. We have Shepherd Tom from Outside the Known Universe. Not sure where that is.
He'll be showing up sometime soon.
He's got a goatee. He's in another dimension.
That's right.
He's on the 29th. Also on the 29th, Timothy Carr. These are some new names, or I don't remember them from previous years very well.
I was going to say the same thing. Either we skipped over them by accident because
we were off on vacation or business travel or whatever. That could be. They could have been there for 3 years, and we just never hit this week yet. But thank you very much. And Julio Diaz, another longtime listener, April 30th. That's the birthday of my long, dear, departed grade school friend, Chris, as well. Thank you for your birthdays. If you want to be on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki, and you can be on there. And we will give you a shout out, as we assume some of the other people have done, is put their name on there, and we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. It doesn't matter if you're listening to this at a different time of year. If it is your birthday and you're not on the calendar, we wish you all the best and have a happy birthday.
And if we missed your birthday already this year, just keep listening until next year.
And go back and put it on the calendar.
Yeah, put it on the calendar and then catch up next year.
You know, I think April 25th is actually, we picked that as the approximate date of our cat, who would now be 7. The one who was sticking his paw under the door at the beginning of the show.
Hey, let me in.
One of these days, he's going to rip that door off the hinges.
Yeah, just... He's going to Hulk out and rip it off.
I want food. He's the size of the Hulk. All right, we have
news. Good news, everyone.
Well, I don't know if this is good news or not, but there's a man who claims that eating fruit every day for 8 years has made him superhuman.
I think he ate only fruit.
Only fruit. I think that would make me super indigested.
A lot of sugar.
You gotta have more to your diet than just fruit.
I don't know. This auto read on. Let's find out.
To get out of my way.
Yeah.
Mizuki Nakano, a former professor at the University of Tokyo in Japan, has been consuming only fruit for the last 8 years, even shunning water and relying on fruit juices for hydration. He recently came on a Japanese TV show to say his fruit-only diet has caused his body to somehow convert nitrogen in the air into protein it needs. Somehow. Keep in mind, folks, this is from odditycentral.com.
Hey, is there enough protein floating in the air for him to just absorb it through osmosis? Or
like Khan when he gets a, when he wakes
he's
up.
Hey, he's standing outside of a barbecue restaurant.
Okay. Yeah. In September of 2009, Mizuki Nakano decided to see what would happen to his body if he consumed nothing but fruit all day, every day. Even back then, the scientific consensus was that a balanced diet that contained enough protein, fat, and carbohydrates was the best way to go, but that relying solely on fruits for nutrition would deprive his body of needed nutrients and potentially cause serious health problems. But Nakano noticed that there was no scientific research on the long-term effects of eating only fruit. So he started an experiment with himself as the guinea pig. I would have eaten a guinea pig. And he's got a Twitter page. I'm waiting for the scroll. I'm having some latency problems here. Too many ads on the page.
Oh, you need an ad blocker. Oh my gosh.
Wow, this is...
There you go. Let me read
it. The switch to an all-fruit diet didn't happen overnight. Instead, the former university professor gradually increased his fruit intake to the point where he consumed only fruits and even eliminated water from his diet, relying instead on fruit juices for hydration. He started documenting his diet on his Amiiblo blog. That's just a hard word to say. Amiiblo blog.
Say that three times fast.
Kind of fun. Amiiblo blog. Amiiblo blog. Amiiblo blog. And eventually, word of his unusual experiment reached Japanese media. In 2015, Nakano was invited on the popular variety show Matsuko's Unknown World, where he talked about his experience and the health benefits of eating fruits. His appearance was much talked about online at the time, but has stopped making TV appearances. There was a rumor that the former professor had died of undernourishment. To some, that just made sense since he couldn't get protein from vitamin B12 out of fruit. However, Mizuki Nakano recently made his return on Matsuko's Unknown World, both to dispel rumors that he died, excuse me, and to share a startling and fascinating discovery with the world. Not only has he been thriving on an all-fruit diet, but he claims he has evolved into a superhuman.
He now has gills and he has web fingers.
He turned into a fruit bat. According to Sora News 24, Nakano told the TV show host that the complete lack of protein in his diet combined with the long-term fruit consumption has caused a special type of bacteria to grow in his body, which are apparently capable of converting nitrogen in the air into much-needed protein. The fruit lover added that the researchers who studied him were stunned by the discovery. I can imagine. At this point, Mizuki Nakano claims are purely anecdotal, and there is no proof that any researchers have even studied him, let alone found some super bacteria in his body. However, Sora News 24 emphasizes the lack of scientific research into long-term fruit-only diet makes it difficult to flat out write his claims as bogus. I'm going to stop there.
I'm going to tell you, I think it's kind of, it sounds bogus because even if you say, hey, I'm going to eat only fruit, all the fruits are different. It's not like, I don't know. It just doesn't seem, something doesn't add up there.
No, balanced, you know what I'm saying, folks? Balanced diet.
I mean, it's one thing to eat an apple and it's another thing to eat an orange. It's two different types of fruit. What are you going to, you have to mix them up. I don't know.
Well,
you're
going to
kill your wallet too.
He certainly isn't going to get scurvy. That's for sure.
Yeah, well. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem right.
No, that's the point of the whole story, Craig.
I know. It
doesn't seem right. We're going to find it. We're going to tell you about it.
Why am I trying to make sense out of it? I don't know.
Speaking of the hacks and strange stories.
By the way, John Miller Jr.
What? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
John Miller Jr. said, let me guess, he became diabetic. That's a lot of sugar. You know, a bunch of fruit. Seriously. But
it's natural sugars.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
take the next one. It's come to this.
From Geekology. So it's come to this. Urinals that play video ads while you pee.
Now, we've been on road trips and we've stopped at, you know, the Flying J or one of those truck stops. And you go into the restroom and there's printed ads in front of you. Right? You'll see a CB radio,
like newspapers and stuff.
Yeah. And I've seen videos before. They were in Vegas and they were of things I wouldn't normally watch videos for.
Right. I think I remember that too. So anyway, this is a new advertising urinal. Although they can also display news or company info instead for workplace environments by Dutch toilet manufacturer Mr. Friendly. I like the name actually for a toilet.
That sounds like a colloquialism for what you call your
yeah. What's your name for your special purpose? Mr. Friendly. Anyway, I've always had to seem to, who I always seem to run into in the public restrooms. It is a wireless urinal with a small screen on the top that displays video ads whenever motion is detected. A couple of problems. One, it just gives men something to aim at when they should be focusing on their effort and making it into the toilet. Number two, well, not just install screens on above the toilet.
Above the toilet, yes. I'll
at least have a guy who wouldn't be able to hit it without risking peeing on his own eyes. I still do. And number three, yeah, the guy said I could still do it, though. Number three, who looks down when they pee anyways? I stare straight ahead at the wall in front of me
and inspect the grout.
About waterfall, huh? Yeah. It's
Waterfalls Pandora. Waterfalls on Pandora.
I don't quite think of that either.
No, but now I'm going to be not waterfalls, but more like water fountains or water features, you know, where you hear a little trickling stream.
Well, when you start, you kind of look down to make sure everything's cool and then just kind of look ahead. That's what I do. Yeah. I see, you know what gets me is when I see guys with their hand on the wall. I'm like, why?
Have you ever seen a balancing problem.
I know. I've seen people put their hand on the wall. I'm like, what are you doing?
It's sort of like those people in church when they raise their hands up like
that. Yeah. Praying to the urinal god.
He's been drinking. He's stabilizing himself. So, yeah, actually, no, this doesn't make sense. This is clearly not an integration opportunity. Yeah. It would make more sense to have the video on the wall, because that way, if the video goes out or the technology needs servicing, you can do it independent of the porcelain structure.
This is about as interesting to me as watching video at the gas pump.
Oh, you know, if you hit the keys just right, you can mute it.
Oh, is there a key? Is there
some pumps?
Secret code?
Yeah. I said, code. please stop. And I just went, bam, 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 bam. Oh, good. I don't know what I did, but it stopped. It was
still
playing video.
You only got $1 for the gas in your car.
The meter starts going faster. We just jacked up the price for not watching the ad.
Yeah, I just hate that.
You can mute, some you can't.
Yeah, probably. But I just get that. That in itself is aggravating, because I'm like, okay, I'm kind of stuck here and I got to watch this stupid video, you know.
I'll go wash the windshield.
Yeah. So I remember one gas pump, I kept seeing the same video as Jimmy Fallon doing a bit on The Tonight Show. And then they would show the guy doing movie reviews. Then it would go to somebody else and then come back to Jimmy Fallon. I'm like, how many times do I got to watch this in a loop? Anyway.
Oh, it's like the stuff they show before the movie trailers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you keep seeing the same dentist office come up about every 7 minutes.
Yeah. Or, Coca-Cola showing you the fantastic movie that some independent filmmaker made of their product.
All righty. Let me, you know, I'm going to stop going to Oddity Central if they keep throwing these ads in my face. We have a story about Costa Rican inmates who use trained cats to smuggle in mobile phones.
Wait.
What?
You can train a cat?
Somebody can. Todd is trainable, and he could probably take about 10 cell phones because he's a big cat. You could use him like a pack mule.
Just Velcro him to his back.
All you got to do is stick them in an oven mitt. He'll bring it to you at 9 p.m. every night.
What?
That's his thing. I never told you. I told you about Todd. His nighttime routine. He will go find an oven mitt in our house. Well, we've dedicated one to this purpose.
Yeah.
And he catches it like it's a mouse, and then he brings it into the bedroom. You know, you can hear him come walking down the hall. Meow, meow,
yeah.
Meow.
Yeah.
And he will find you and deliver it to you and expect a reward. So you go, good boy.
We got a little basket on the floor, and it's got a bunch of cat toys in it. And we got an older cat, and he does that with all of the toys out of there. He'll pull them out, and he'll start doing
them.
It. Yeah. Over the course of the night, I'm like, we're trying to sleep here. And he's like, I'm like,
just leave one toy in there. Didn't you learn yet? Apparently we have an infestation of oven mitts because Todd has to go catch them.
Where'd this one come from? Oh, Michael must have left it there.
And then I'll take it. I'll throw it back down the hall. And 10 minutes later, he comes back and I got another one.
As I'm saying, Donna goes, I don't remember this oven mitt. Oh, it was Michael's.
No, it was a gray one from our old house.
Oh, okay.
And then if you leave the current one that we cook with out, he will grab that. He'll try to. So we try not to leave the real one out.
It would be funny if the cat starts rummaging through some boxes and pulls one out that
that we didn't recognize.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
All right. Let's read about this, shall we?
Why not?
Oh, God. Get this ad out. Every time I scroll up, the ad gets in the way.
I'm going to send you a link to an ad.
Please do for Chrome. Okay. The press office of the Costa Rican Ministry of Justice didn't specify where exactly the cat was caught or how staff managed to spot its valuable cargo, but it did state that it was the second, quote, trained cat intercepted by prison guards in the last couple of weeks. But why would someone go through the trouble of training a cat to smuggle stuff into prison? Well, simply put, it's safer than having human visitors do it and cheaper than bribing prison staff. A couple of years ago, guards at another Costa Rican prison captured a, quote, narco pigeon carrying 14 grams of cocaine and 14 grams of marijuana for someone on the inside.
Oh.
All right. Let's keep reading. This story can't possibly get any better.
No kidding.
Pigeons definitely have a higher chance of delivering their cargo, but they can only carry light loads. Cats, on the other hand, can apparently carry a full mobile phone kit with ease. With case, headphones, and battery recharging pack. I'm just kidding. Made that last part up.
Yeah, right.
And phones are a valuable commodity for inmates, helping them coordinate the criminal business from inside, pressure witnesses, and even performing phone and email scams. Costa Rica has been trying. Hello, I've got your cat.
Yeah.
They've been trying to ban cell phone reception in penitentiaries for years, but the proposed law has been stuck in constitutional arguments and legislative processes since 2016. Wouldn't be a shame if someone put a Faraday cage around the prison. And there is a video with a news article. Gato intendo meter celular a la reforma. What do you say?
So John Miller Jr., we should have him on the show sometime. He says, I think the pigeon is skimming some of the coke from the stash.
He's got him his cut. 2 grams for me, 14 for the prisoner.
Yeah, and the cat gets nothing.
Yeah, what does the cat get out of this for hauling phones?
A little treat.
Alrighty, there's our crazy, strange stories. We actually have some other stuff coming up in the news right after this. Stick with us because we have Remember When that you may want to stick around for. Of course, our patrons and a couple stories in the media corner. So be right back. Hang on.
Greetings, programs
and applications.
I'm Ben.
And I am Keith. And we are
the Two Gay Geeks.
We are the nerds behind TG Geeks Webcast,
where we talk about sci-fi,
comics,
film,
horror,
genre.
You name it, we talk about it.
We release an episode every Monday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern.
You can find us on iTunes, Blueberry, Spreaker, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio.
Also, look us up on YouTube. And of course,
we can be found at tggeeks.com, where you can find not only our webcast,
but articles about other geeky goodness.
So come along for the wildest ride in the potosphere.
Did you just say potosphere?
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama. and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
The lady singing in the background, you should be on radio.
Yeah.
You make up your own words for that part.
Yeah.
All righty. We have, I scrolled down a little too far on this. I almost jumped right over this. Remember, we are on Facebook every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. We want to see you there. Join our Facebook page and get notified automatically when we go on the air. That's how it works. We also upload this to YouTube the following morning, and it comes out in audio podcast form on Tuesday night. All of these are, of course, U.S. time, so if you're in Australia, just add a few hours. You're okay.
I don't know why I thought you were going to say it comes out in bulk. I don't know why I was...
No, it comes out a burlap sack. We try and chuck it over the bridge and drown it in the creek.
I don't know where I was getting that bulk from. Okay. It's been a long day.
Oh, my. Oh,
wait, shout out to the chat room. So we have Tim Elliott and John Miller Jr. hanging out there. And I saw my cousin pop in because I shared this on Facebook. And I see John Clifford. Oh, Jade Flores. And then John Clifford. That's all I see right now.
Oh, Clinton's not out there.
I know.
What's up with that?
We do a podcast with him.
Oh, is that a shameless plug?
Yes, actually. Actually, you know what? If you're not aware, because I don't think we really mentioned it on here that much.
And we don't have a promo for that show yet.
we don't even have a promo yet. We do a Star Trek podcast called The Topic is Trek at thetopicistrek.com. Hey, that was a preemptive, Bill.
I was shooting for the first one.
Yeah. So go over there, check it out. We record bi-weekly, and sometimes we put stuff out a little off from that. But go check it out. Yeah, topicistrek.com.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we will tell you more related to that at the end of the show. Okay, we have a Remember When, and I believe you spotted this one. So your turn. I did the cats. You get this one.
Yes. I love seeing pictures like this.
Oh, wait a minute. We didn't do the Remember When music, did we?
Yeah, do it. Do it, do it.
What?
Let's get in the mood.
Okay, we have to talk over so YouTube doesn't flag us. Go ahead.
Yeah, so keep talking. Actually, I like seeing these old pictures of behind the scenes of famous movies, especially some of these movies that have iconic scenery like Blade Runner. And this article has a lot of great behind the scenes of them building the scenescape, or the cityscape, excuse me, that we see as Deckard and everybody's flying through.
The first really image looks really cheesy, though. It looks like he's setting up cardboard on a card table or something, on sawhorses. Yeah. Like, really?
So he says, the artist drew black silhouettes in progressively reduced scales over reference photography of the El Segundo refinery. They were arranged on a 12 by 24 artboard panels from which the lithographic films were made. The acid etching supplier used the films to print stencil masks on 12 by 14 brass sheet stock for etching and silhouettes. So this is to get things going. If you look further down, you'll start seeing some of the fruits of that labor.
Yeah.
Where they start.
It got way more complex with the.
Oh, yeah.
The painting and the lighting and.
The lighting, the fiber optics for the lighting just looks ridiculous. It looks like somebody's hair got a little frazzled, you know, and it was a little too humid out that day.
Well, and fiber optics were still pretty new back then.
Yeah. You remember, I remember seeing lamps, you know, that had like the fibers hanging out, you know, in the 70s. But that's kind of what this looks like, you know. But can you imagine having to take one, put it here, take one, put it there,
Way they did like the model of the Enterprise D. Right. And they put fiber optic and DS9 had a whole bunch of fiber optics in there, but that was in the 90s.
Yeah. But still, I'm just imagine doing that. That's very laborious. So anyway, and I'll read a little bit of this article. In 1982, Ridley Scott's Blade Runner set a distinctive tone for the look and feel of many sci-fi future film noirs to come. taking advantage of stylized production design, art direction, and visual effects work. Supervisors Douglas Trumbull, VES, is this his title? Richard Urici and David Dreyer. Where have I heard that name, David Dreyer, before?
Let's go to Where Are They Now?
Yeah, so via Entertainment Effects Group, oversaw Blade Runner's Oscar-nominated visual effects. Work that was completed at the time when practical effects, miniatures, optical compositing, and real film, in this case, it was 65mm film, were the norm. On the eve of the release of Denis Villeneuve's Blade Runner 2049 sequel, VFX Voice, which is the website we're reading this from, revisits the miniatures of the original film of chief model maker Mark Stetson, VES. I'm going to look that up, VES. He and his crew of distinguished artists helped develop many of the film's iconic settings and vehicles, including the opening Hardest Landscape. In the Tyrell Corporation pyramids, the Spiner, and the other flying vehicles, the advertising blimp, and the Los Angeles cityscape of 2019, which was next year.
I was watching Space Seed on Star Trek TOS. Speaking of Star Trek, that we were pimping a little while ago. And of course they said, you know, that the Botany Bay took off in the early 1990s, the eugenics wars. So we kind of missed that, but they did say that, you know, they use sleeper ships for longer travel until faster travel was available in 2018. So any day now
in the fourth quarter,
it's sort of like when you're watching, I watched Blade Runner in 2016 and go, hey, that model just came out like 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's going to happen in the fourth quarter of 2018.
Yeah, they don't tell you exactly when. As long as it's somewhere in 2018, they met their match.
Well, you know, when the writer was sitting there, you probably go like, okay, yeah, let's make it 2019. That's a good ways away.
Yeah. Hey, it was 50 years from when they shot the show.
I know.
Got to be optimistic that you might have space travel in 50 years.
Yeah, but go look at these pictures. You can probably find more elsewhere, but this is really cool, and I love the craftsmanship that went into this, because if you look, there's details that he's building out in these pictures that we will probably never even saw,
right? Or may not have even made it on camera. They were sort of just there in the periphery.
Yeah, that's true too.
A lot of work, painstaking work. And we've got some of the pictures on the video that you see here, but you can find out more if you go to the show notes at chuckchat.com/technorama and go into episode 531. There, somewhere I had a bell.
Barely hear that bell. Yeah.
There.
Oh, there we go.
I had to get it closer to the front desk.
Ring my bell.
Oh, boy. Quick, who sang that song?
Oh, man, if you hadn't asked me, I could have told you. I just looked it up the other day.
We're going to soldier on then.
Yeah.
All right. We want to thank our patrons. That's what we need. This is where we thank the people who bring you this show, because it is sponsored by our patrons over at patreon.com. You can find that at patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And people who give as little as a dollar a show, as little as a dollar. Do you know how much we'd get paid if every listener gave us a dollar? Nothing.
30 cents. I don't know.
How do you have 0.3 listeners? Well, the average person only listens to about a third of the show. So there you go.
Hey, well, it's gotten weird here before.
Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic, Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros, John Clifford, thank you very much. Leon, John Noble, not that John Noble.
What?
Chris MC, Alexis Duran. Just now you guys got me doing that. Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Jorgis Rowan, and your name here. Your name could be here if you want to join the ranks of these people by going over to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We greatly appreciate it. We'll give you a shout out and we'll give you extra content that is only available to these people. It is at least twice as good as our regular show.
Yeah, right.
Which ain't saying much. Thank you very much, and we will turn off the music now. Bring that back up, because we are going right into the Media Corner.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
And things.
Over here, in the Media Corner.
And things from io9.com. Peter, the newest star of Deadpool. Have you seen the Deadpool final trailer?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Well, I've stated I'm a trailer junkie, so I do watch trailers often, and especially for Deadpool.
Did that make you trailer trash? But I think I've used that joke before.
Maybe.
Craig sits down with a box of popcorn and watches trailers.
Yeah, I stack them up in my watch later queue on YouTube.
It's Saturday night. We're watching trailers. And then you can tell Danny Hillcrest on Clinton's podcast what the movie's right. about.
Yeah.
Anyway, Peter, the new star of Deadpool 2, has a real Twitter that's an absolute delight. The mustache is totally aerodynamic, it says.
You saw the trailer for this, right?
I did.
Okay.
The latest and final trailer for Deadpool 2 added a new member to the X-Force. Peter, he doesn't have any powers. He just responded to the ad. And as it turns out, he's got a dad-tastic Twitter presence. Scrolling through his Twitter feed, you can find out a lot about this guy. Peter W., also known as PeterX_1974, has been using the social media site to share beekeeping advice and refusals to try drugs for almost a month now. Well, I thought they were going to say like since 2008 or something.
Yeah, so for almost a month.
Okay, so now you know it's just a studio making this crap up.
Right.
It's not a real person. That would have been funnier if it was. So what else did we find out about Peter? What are his likes, dislikes, fears, and dreams? Well, there's the beekeeping, but his profile also says he loves sports and grilling. He wears Skechers shape-ups. He's not so easily fooled by Photoshopped animals, except all the times he is. He's religious, and he enjoys 90s sitcoms, and there's a big poster of Friends.
Right.
Wow. But Peter's really not a fan of curse words or R-rated films. Oh, then he's not going to watch Deadpool 2.
He's not going to watch his own film.
Let's see. I'm not going to read the tweets. They're not friendly for this show. Which begs the question, how's he going to hang with Deadpool and his merrier band of misfits? And oh yeah, his wife is probably cheating on him with her personal trainer, but through it all, he stays positive. Hope everyone's having a beautiful day. Hashtag beekeeping puns.
Yeah.
I scoured his Twitter account for any hints and clues of what we can expect from this new guy in Deadpool 2, but he's keeping mum for now.
You know what? I have this weird feeling. He's going to be like the guy that, you know, solves whatever problem they're working on in the film.
By accident?
Yeah. It's like, you know, they go through all this stuff, and Peter's the one that ends up saving the day, whatever they're doing.
Hey, Peter, watch your cornhole. All right, movie cross-reference there for those who got it. Craig, yeah. Would you like the follow-up story? I don't think we've had a follow-up story since we did Hitchbot.
Hitchbot. Yeah. So we mentioned the HD vinyl. HD as in high fidelity vinyl.
HD doesn't stand for high fidelity. HD, HF stands for high fidelity.
Sorry. You know
HD is
about.
High definition.
You can read my mind.
Vinyl's already high fidelity.
So HD and HD vinyl, and is it legit? So last week, a nerdier segment of the music world was abuzz with the news that an Australian company, Rebeat, had taken $4.8 million investment to bring HD vinyl records to the market by mid-2019.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? HD vinyl? Why does one make a last analog music storage format that people still care about? High definition. I keep wanting to say fidelity. It screams pure marketing, buzzword ships, et cetera. But we consulted with some experts, and surprise, it seems that there's reason to be cautiously optimistic. Now, generally speaking, it is pretty rare to hear complaints about vinyl not sounding good enough. That's generally why people still like to listen to it. It sounds good. Well, and that the hipster crowd, hipster cred. But the thing with audiophiles is that there's no such thing as good enough. It can always be a better, closer reproduction of the sound that came out of the actual instruments and voices. Try going to a concert.
You know what I just thought of? The Columbia what? Record and Tape Club could make a comeback.
Oh, please, God, yes.
Oh, didn't they just shut down like a few years ago? We did a story on that.
Yeah, it did. It was probably, yeah, I can't remember.
Only like 2 years ago or 3 years ago. It was crazy. Yeah. Like, what? They're still around.
I know. Well, that was the story, actually. So HD Vinyl aims to make improvements, and that's not a bad thing if it can pull it off. So I'm going to scroll down a little bit. So what is HD Vinyl? For starters, know that HD Vinyl records you buy will be materially the same as the records your grandpa bought.
Hey, careful. Careful.
As in, they'll be still made of vinyl, and you can still play them on a standard turntable with a standard cartridge. So no, it won't be like a DVD versus Blu-ray, or I was thinking more like was the HD disc? It was
laser
like
laser disc.
The big there ones? Was a standard between Blu-ray and HD DVD or something like that. Anyway,
that was two different formats. That was a VHS Betamax thing.
Yeah. So what makes HD vinyl different is the process that goes into making them. The process for making a standard record typically goes something like this. A master recording, frequently digitally these days, is played through a machine that cuts a lacquer disc.
Yep.
That basically like the one-sided records that should be the most faithful analog reproduction and sound you can get.
Yep.
It will be inspected for errors by engineers, musicians, recording artists, and what have you. And if it passes, then it gets electric plated.
Yep.
Excuse me. This is a chemical process that essentially gets the metal, typically nickel, all up into grooves of the lacquer.
Yep.
All up into grooves. Once set, the metal disc is popped off, and it essentially inverted a copy of the lacquer disc. So you make a mold, essentially what you're doing. I was going to scroll down and say, will HD vinyl be noticeably different? From the listener side of things, the most definite difference will be, or may be, that HD vinyl will supposedly be able to cram 30 to 40% more music on the LP. That's a lot.
You get a whole hour.
We asked Loible. I guess there's somebody I skipped over his name in the article, if they accomplished this by somehow making the grooves narrower. Nope. Turns out it's sort of the opposite. 30% more content does not mean narrower grooves, which I would think things were kind of compressed a little bit. Loible told Gizmodo, we just optimized the space between the groove. Yeah, that makes sense. That's actually what I was saying. It was kind of pushing together.
I'm reminded of that Bob and Doug McKenzie album, The Great White North. He says, when you're playing your record and there's that space between the songs and there's nothing there, that's what we call black holes.
Black holes.
And there's one track on the album where it's moving between the songs, and all you hear is black holes.
Yeah, black holes. That's funny.
I have that down here somewhere. Don't make me dig that out.
I'm sure you do. We just optimized the space between the grooves, the black holes. The size of the groove will be 100% like on traditional vinyl. We can even go one step further due to the high precision laser and wear less stampers. We can provide what we call a perfect groove. The shape of the groove and the HD vinyls doesn't change, so it will be possible to produce needles that fit perfectly in the grooves, which is not possible yet. The additional content can be used for more volume or better dynamic or longer playing time, or a combination, all these three. So that's where the 30% comes by, because they can cut the grooves closer together and the needles will still fit in the grooves. So yeah, it makes total sense. Cool.
It's interesting. We'll have to see if this catches on, if it's worth the $4.8 billion that they're putting into this, that they can make a return. Apparently, it's going to make the production faster and more accurate, is really what it boils down to. So the demand is going up for vinyl, and they're going to be able to keep up with that demand, which is a challenge today.
Yeah. I look back and I when I DJed, I had a bunch of records, and over the years, I kind of let them go, and I wish I still had them.
I wonder if they're going to do 45s as well. 45s are going to make a comeback, or if it's just 12? 12 inches.
I don't know.
LP EP format.
I mean, 45s were cool, but I don't really see. I mean, most of the albums have a concept to them, and the songs are strung together. So I don't know that you're going to get C45s more or less than, like I said, albums again. You know,
so 45s might be a dead format. Oh man,
I'm guessing. Yeah,
I think I still have my little adapter hub.
Yeah. I saw a logo the other day, and that's the first thing I thought of. I was like, hey, that looks like one of those 45 adapters.
Is that somebody's logo? Was it like the S shape with the three spokes?
It was. That's exactly right. It was like the center that had like the S's that came out. I was like, that looks like a 45 adapter.
It's a good logo. We should have thought of that.
I know. There's still time.
Only our shows all start with T. Technorama, Tech Now, Tech Shorts.
The topic is Trek.
The topic is Trek. We're not getting very original here.
No.
Alrighty, we have a question for you.
Uh-huh.
This is a toughie, because there's so many to choose from. What is your favorite quote?
And it can be an inspirational quote. It can be a quote from a movie or whatever.
I like the one that's right next to the return key, without shifting, a single quote. I use that more than anything.
My favorite quote was from Pee Wee Herman, the Pee Wee Herman movie, where he says, was it,
everyone's got a big butt, Simone.
Yeah.
Let's talk about your big butt.
I was thinking who he's talking to. He goes, come on, Pee Wee, you got to do that. And, he says, but everybody's got a big butt. I love that line.
Let's talk about your big butt, Simone. Alrighty, we have some appearances coming up that we want to remind you of. Craig will be in Phoenix at the Binary Studio West. That would be this studio. For Technorama, we'll be in studio on May 13th, 2018. We have no idea who else is going to show up. There are several locals invited, but if you are in the area,
I'll be there.
Craig will be here. That's the important part. I will be in London, Paris, and Rome between the dates of May 19th through 24th. If you're interested in doing a quick meetup,
is that the Chuck Conn World Tour?
And, that's the Tomasi family European vacation.
Hey, don't make it turn out like Chevy Chase's one.
No, you know, I never saw that movie. I thought one is enough for that series. Done.
No, it wasn't great, but there was some funny stuff in it.
I did see I did see Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, that's a classic.
We will both be at Dragon Con August 30th through September 4th in Atlanta, Georgia. Hope to see you there. And of course, there's the Star Trek cruise next January that we'll be going. Hope to see you there as well. Did I miss anything, Craig? There may be an occasional business trip to San Diego or Santa Clara, but we'll let you know how those go.
Well, I hadn't had any of those in a while. Hey, when I saw the Star Trek Cruise 3, I kept thinking, the search for Spock.
You keep searching for him. I don't think he's going to be on that cruise.
No, I hope not.
I did think of a easy cosplay, though. You could dress up in old Western gear and just walk around going, peace and tranquility, friend. See who gets it. There are so many easy costumes to do on Star Trek, aside from the usual Starfleet uniforms. Anyway, topic for another show. If you want to find out more about that topic, is Trek.com.
I think you should pack your free awkward hug.
On the cruise? That's not a bad idea. You know, our spouses haven't witnessed that yet.
I know.
Pictures.
If we want to remain spouses, we may not want to take that.
Probably. If I hug too many strangers, she's not going to hug me back. Rotavirus, she says. All right, let's get out of here. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. If you want to get in touch with us, call us on the listener line, 707. Thank you, dear, for putting that up on the screen. 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT. You can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com, or find us on the social interwebs. Technorama Podcast is what you want to search for. Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Patreon. You can help support us and keep this show going. There's all kinds of different ways to do that. And thank you for the emails. Those of you who did send that in, I neglected to get the question of the week out. I need to put that on my weekly to-do list. Ask question of the week on like Saturday. So yeah. One more of these, then we're going to have a week off, but we will come back at you soon. Give us a binary high five, Craig.
Now, this is a famous quote for you. 101.
Is that famous yet?
It is in my mind.